If you ask many professing Christians what the Bible says about fear, they will quote, or at least paraphrase Matthew 6. And oddly, we ended there last Sabbath, and we're starting there this Sabbath. So please turn to Matthew 6:25. If you want a title for this message, it is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Fear. We're not talking about Gad today. That was a typo either. Could have very well been me when I sent the title in. Anyway, Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? So, does it mean we don't have to worry about concerned about our future? Not fear anything? To not plan for tomorrow? As a father and a husband, I've always had worries and concerns because I have duties and responsibilities to my family, to protect them, to support them, to work and make the money we need. I've known for some time to keep supporting my family, I was going to have to change what I did for a living. And I'm kind of in the process of doing that right now. Took a long time. The first time I can remember talking to anyone other than my wife and daughter, who had been mentioning it to me for a long time because they could see it, it was Mr. Fay, Senior. It's been a while since I started talking about this. But it took until last year to start to make, to move, to start to make the change. Why? Fear that I could be able to make a success of something else, to be able to do something different successfully enough to do what I need to do to support my family. Is fear a good thing or a bad thing? It's a question. Today we're going to be examining fear, what the Bible has to say about this subject. We're going to look at what we should fear, what we shouldn't fear, and the spiritual dangers of confusing the two of them. If you want a title, like I said, it's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Fear. As parents, we teach our children what they should fear, what's good for them to fear. Don't touch the stove, you'll get burnt. Don't run into the street. Don't talk to strangers. Even adults, there are plenty of things we should fear. Some fears that we need to overcome. Other kinds of fear are healthy. Even for adult, running blindly into the street is a bad idea. It's just as small children, we know that they're not paying attention to anything except the ball or whatever it is that's caused them to run towards the street. The key is to know what kinds of fear are beneficial to our growth. The Bible doesn't just talk about basic physical fears, but also tells us what to fear spiritually. So what would we put under the heading of the good of fear? Well, the Bible gives us instructions on at least one proper place for fear. Please turn to Deuteronomy 6:24. Just as when we instruct our children how to stay safe, what to fear, our Father's instructions are also for our own protection. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is in this day. Fear the Lord God. But in this case, for our own good. Now, fear in this case can be translated to revere, which can mean deep respect or admiration. In that case, we'd read, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to revere the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. He was speaking to people who were like children in the faith. A perfect example being what happened when Moses was at Mount Sinai. Moses up there speaking with God. He left instructions. What happened? The Israelites demand Aaron make them a god. to use the gold they have only because of what the real God has done for them. And Aaron makes a golden calf and an altar. Reading from Exodus 32:23. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As Moses, this man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. The guy just vanished. And he said to him, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. And they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Really, it just came out. Aaron makes a defense that it's not my fault, and the magic calf magically appeared. Then they even said, with all they had seen, they didn't revere or fear God yet. They just left generations of slavery. But they had not left behind the ways and thoughts of the world. Deuteronomy 10. We can't revere God without keeping his commandments. We can't say, I'm with you, God, but some of these rules need to change. All we can do is separate separate ourselves from him. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He requires us to walk in fear of his ways, to revere them, to love and serve with all our heart and soul. This requirement is repeated over and over again. Deuteronomy 4:10, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. In chapter 5:29, it says it like this. Oh, that they had a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that might be well with them and with their children forever. It's what God wants. In chapter 6:2, we hear a promise included is also in the Ten Commandments. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Respect for our family, for our parents, respect for our father. Over and over again, fear God, walk in his commandments. Only respecting and fearing and honoring God do we begin to understand the most basic parts of his plan. This stated beautifully in Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding that have all those who do his commandments. The understanding comes after doing the commandments. His praise endures forever. We have to be doing more than reading his words. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding comes after doing. After. Please turn to Proverbs 3:5. Why do people far smarter than us not see the need to follow God's teachings? Many, in fact, are out there pushing in the opposite direction, moving as quickly as they can to get away from God. Their hearts tell them the world's knowledge will eventually solve all problems in front of them. The warning in Proverbs 3 hits home for the way so many people are going the wrong way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's difficult for someone who is wise in their own heart to correct You can't correct yourselves if you already believe you're going the right way. Because you believe you're right. And so there's no reason to change. To fear God is to stand against this attitude. Proverbs 8:13 puts it this way. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Again, if you're proud, you can't see how you need to change. Fear of the Lord helps us be on the wavelength we needed to see the evil. To acknowledge our problems are caused by pride and arrogance and allow God to correct us. Just as we should fear God, respect him, and try to follow his laws, there are things he instructs us through the Bible we should not fear, or what we would call the bad of fear. These are things that will hinder our growth into his family. Just as parents instruct their children to stay out of the street, not because they want to lessen the kids' fun, but to avoid harm. There are also, due to stress and trauma, plenty of fears or phobias we need to work to overcome. Praying for strength can only help those. A good example in my life is how hard it is to simply walk into a building where there's been a fire. The smell triggers me and forces me to want to leave. Growing up, we had two house fires as a kid. So the smell triggers a fear sense in me. Another is public speaking used to be a big issue. In high school, I should have failed out of my junior year speech class. I was supposed to give a speech at the end of the semester. A third of our grade was on this speech. I'd done the work. I had the words. I had maps to show what I was talking about. I had graphs. I made to describe the topic so I didn't have to talk so much. When the time came, I couldn't walk through the door. If not for a very kind teacher who was willing to give me partial credit for the work I had done, even though I had not presented it, I would have had to retake the class. So let's examine the bad of fear. What does the Bible tell us not to fear? Please turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 28. We're breaking in here into a passage where the apostles are being sent out to preach, heal, and cast out demons. This is going to be dangerous enough. They are warned of guaranteed persecution. In this verse, we get both the good and the bad of fear. Matthew 10, 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear man, fear God. Don't fear those who can only kill the body. That doesn't mean we should go out without thinking into unsafe areas. Vacation in Afghanistan or the Sudan. Even here, the apostles are told to flee cities where they are persecuted, just not to let the dangers stop them from what they've been told to do. It's sometimes easy to think how much easier it would be for all of us in the country who are on the same page. Even all Sabbath keepers can't say that. Why? What stops us from working together? Being prideful and fear of the wrong things. Of people, of others' opinions, of being able to live in the world at large without danger. If we went back to examine the Israelites as they left Egypt during the Exodus, we see not just failure to fear and obey God. We see time and again where all the miracles around them, they fall into fear of everything but God. In Exodus 14, they feared Pharaoh and his army. Multiple times complained of dying of thirst or hunger. In Exodus 20, they camped at Mount Sinai. Let's turn there again. Exodus 20. Now in verses 1 through 17, God speaks and gives the Ten Commandments here in Exodus 20. So we're going to start on Exodus 18. Exodus 20:18. Excuse me. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashings, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And then the people saw it, they trembled and stood far off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we won't hear. But let not God speak to us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. And that his fear might be before you so you may not sin. They feared God. But that fear was short-lived because shortly thereafter when Moses is gone, what happens? The magical golden calf appears. God's people are told over and over again in the Bible not to fear. Not to fear death, other gods, the future, other men, other people's opinions. Not that we shouldn't be aware of danger, to avoid it if we can, while still following God. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. That snare is the danger that our fear, we modify our behavior based on the world's opinions. We can fear man and look for their approval, or we can trust in the Lord and look for his. One of the most eye-opening comments I heard right before leaving Worldwide was Mr. DeKotch talking about how much positive commentary our change we're having in the Christian community at large. People love what we're saying. Why did he care? Where in the Bible does it say if you're doing right, people are going to love you? Do we trust in God or men? Where do our loyalties lie? Why were men's opinions important? We need to avoid this pitfall. To understand there's really only one truth and one reality. No matter what this world claims. That's where we come to the ugly of fear, our final point. The dangers in reversing what we should fear with what we shouldn't, and how reversing them can be dangerous. When we talk about what we fear physically, these things can change. There can be reasons why a hard rule suddenly morphs. For instance, a parent who repeatedly warns for their child to stay out of the street. That same parent will, without thinking, sprint in the middle of the street after seeing the car because their child has already done so. There's a reason for it. I've hesitated on switching my profession due to the fear of being able to support my family financially. Right now, I'm still physically able to do what I do. That could change in an instant. It almost did last year. Long term, I know I can't keep doing what I'm doing. Some physical rules and needs can change due to conditions. That is not true of God's rules and what we need to do to follow Him. God's commandments don't change. His requirements to enter His family don't change. What needs to change? We need to change. This world is a confusing, distracting, hot mess. One where that's perceived to be right seems to change daily, rarely in a positive way. To pass a law against gender reassignment surgeries is called an attack on children. The U.S. is celebrating Pride Month as we speak. The Methodist Church Conference is splintering because the main organization wants to allow gay ministers. I'm not sure what Bible they use now. Even that verse from Matthew 6 about how he will provide for us well, if we just looked at the end of that section in verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then those things are given. In the world today, trying to stand for what is right makes you a target. But not to say anything can also make you a target. Do what it wants you to do? Fear it? No, we're required to take a stand. It should be easy for us due to having heard God's word preached from the Bible. Or I should say, done so clearly, because our friends in the Methodist ministry seem to have something different that they found in here. How do we avoid the snares set before us? Fear, godly fear. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Going back to Israel, trekking through the Sinai desert, they experienced many miracles. Had that pillar of cloud and fire traveling with them. God was physically had a presence there. Yet when the time came to enter Canaan, with God there with them, what did they do? Please turn to Numbers 14. In chapter 13, Israel spied out the land. They sent out men from each tribe, leaders from each tribe, who came back with reports about how the land was flowing with milk and honey. Wonderfully productive land. Numbers 14, starting in verse 1. How did the people react? So the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Go back into the world. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly, the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I'm not even try it today, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. The Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land. Give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Fear the Lord, not the people. For they are our bread, and their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. How many of that generation that left Egypt entered the promised land? Two, Joshua and Caleb, because they had a different spirit. You can see it in this section. They knew who and what to fear. Fear God. Don't fear the men. Even after Israel entered the land of Canaan, they still had issues with respecting God and his rules. They didn't clear the land, and because they were infected by other people's beliefs, they raised altars and sacrificed to foreign gods. Where was their fear? Who did they fear? More importantly, who do we fear? Growing up, I feared my father. If I was caught up doing something wrong, I was going to be punished. I also trusted that he would protect me. As I got older, fear became respect, or at least the two mixed together. I had a good relationship with my father, so God as our father makes sense to me. For many in the world, Satan's world, fathers don't have a good relationship with many of the children out here. People don't have a good father figure. They think of God at all as, why did he allow this to happen to me? We at least in the first world live in an I want it now world. I want it now. Amazon, I want it now. Delayed gratification is not popular. It is a way we need to live, but it is the way we need to live to follow God. All those mentioned in Hebrews 11 as faithful, they also feared, respected, and followed God. They didn't live like those around them. Maybe Samson. They didn't allow fear of others to split from God. They are still waiting. Delayed gratification. Just as God, through Moses, was trying to lead Israel to the Holy Land, God is working in and through people today to help us come out of spiritual Egypt. Is fear of the world, its belief in what's acceptable, going to rule over our lives? Are we controlled of fear of losing friends because we don't believe the same things they do? Are we going to be like those who never entered the promised land, allowing the world to drag us down and back? Are we going to fear God or man? Please turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, this is one of David's Psalms. Verse 1. A Psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. When it looks like the world is looming at our doorsteps, if fear causes us to freeze, be not sure which way to turn, remember, we do not have to live on our own wisdom and understanding. It is God who promises to be there for us. What do we need to do? It's simple. Simple, if not easy. Let's close again by reading Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.